Well, thank you very much, Discovery Club. That is amazing. Look at all these cards. That would make anybody's day go great. Look at that. Thank you so much. Thank you for your appreciation. I will enjoy reading those and praying over them. Thank you, buddy. Good to have all of you here tonight. Good to have visitors with us this evening. I trust you've had a good week in the Lord already. I hope that you're still praying and pleading for the brokenness and the heartache that has happened our weekend over in Nevada. And God's healing touch will be upon those families. Certainly a tragedy. Certainly a tragedy. Good to have all of you here tonight. Good to have visitors with us. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 10. We had a good turnout in our youth zone. It's good to be with them, spend time with them, and enjoy their fellowship. Good to see all the Discovery kids here tonight. We're in Matthew chapter number 10. If you're visiting with us tonight, we're thankful that you're here. We understand that you could have went anywhere and worshiped tonight, so we appreciate you stopping in on our midweek service. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And we're going to read down to verse 10. Matthew chapter 1, chapter 10, verse 1 through 10. Here we go. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 1, down through verse number 10. The Bible says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon of the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go into the way of the Gentiles. Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver, of brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat." We're going to look at the life and the times of the apostles, the calling of the apostles, for the next probably maybe 12 to 13 Wednesday evenings. And we're going to look at them, but you'll notice here, as we were reading in this passage, there's two different terms that is used in verse 1 and 2. You'll see in verse 1, 12 disciples, and you'll see 12 apostles. Now today, we're going to look at the term disciple. In this passage right here was talking about, there is no difference right here. It's just a transferring over of what is taking place until what they're going to go do. A heads up, simple terms. Disciple is a learner, someone who learns and follows after. An apostle is a sent one. So that's the nutshell basic difference there. But we're going to break it down, look a little bit in there, look at a little scripture and follow a little chain line through the Bible and see if we cannot learn a little bit about the disciples, the 12, the apostles. As it's known. Now, the disciple is a learner, and that's the first term that's given there, 12 disciples, one who learns from a teacher. And I tell you, we can all learn. Well, if you get to the point where you just cannot learn, you're just lifted up and you're too prideful, too high-headed, You think too highly of yourself. And so always be willing to learn. Always be willing to learn from anybody. It's a good thing to learn. I tell you, I learned from these kids a lot. A lot of folks are a little bit hard, especially on teenagers, than they should be. They forget that they were once teens as well, and that teens make some bad decisions. I know some adults who make bad decisions. I know some grandpas that make bad decisions. I'm telling you, I've made them. I got 4 grandchildren now, I can tell you. So you can always learn, and so be willing to learn, and be willing to sink in and to sit down and pay attention and see how things work. You know, we're in an ever-changing state of being. The Bible says this, though. They're ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. And we don't need to get there. I don't mean to spend time just learning. I'll say this once again. I've said this probably about 20 times in the last 9 years I've been here. Dear friend, if you're 37 and you're going on your third AA or degree or your fourth bachelor, it's time to get out of college and go to work. Just that simple. You've learned as much as you can learn. Get out and go put it to use, the best you can there. So as we look and we study off throughout the lives and the message that the apostles brought, so we're going to try to break this down. Now, I can say this. A growing believer in Christ will have a hunger, have a sincere hunger to know God personally. I think that was probably some of Lot's problem. Lot was a parasite Christian. Lot knew, he knew a lot. Now that's a good thing. Lot knew a lot. Yes, Lot did know a lot. He did have a good understanding about many things. He was a good businessman, was he not? He chased the money. He learned how to be a good shepherd. You know, the Bible says that there was a time that between Lot and Abraham's men, that there was a schism that rose up. And so Lot had learned a lot of things, but he did not learn to walk for God himself. And so we got to be very careful with our children. Discovery Club, Sunday school class, our teenage class, our Sunday school classes, that we keep Jesus Christ central and the Bible central, focused on the whole class time. It is the most important thing that you can offer them. The most important. So we got to stay with it. So there'll be a hunger to know God personally. I'm asking you today, is that something for you? Is there something in your life that you have a desire to personally know God more and more? Oh, great hymn, more about Jesus, would I know? More about Him. And I'm asking you today, when you woke up this morning, by the end of the day, did you know more about Jesus than you did when you woke up this morning? If not, dear friend, I'd ask you to make a change in that. Make a change and always put opportunity to know more and more about Him. Now, there's a huge difference between someone who simply knows about God, huge difference, and a person who knows God personally. So which type are you? Which type are you? Even in the 12 that we read, some of you are already thinking about it. There's some of them that knew about God. There's some, and in many cases, you know, look at the life of Peter, just as a glimpse, just grab it as a glimpse. There was times that you think, man, what a man of God. You remember the time when Jesus said, who do men say to Him? And they said, some say you're Isaiah, some say that you're Elijah, some say that you're a great prophet. And Peter said, thou art the Son of God. Man, what a message. Just a little bit after that, he's rebuking the Lord, isn't he? So as you go through and we look at these, all of the disciples were men that were called of God. Men that were directly heard the voice of Christ and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And so as we begin to study this and begin to look through the disciples and the apostles, understand this, that you and I, if you're saved tonight, you have a new identity in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, all things are passed away and all things become new. We have a new spiritual identity
And on top of that, the Bible encouraged us that we become living sacrifices. And so we should have an external identity that changes as well. Too many times, too often, dear friend, we try to change the outside without the inside working, being worked out by the Holy Spirit of God. And we gloss over, we paint over, we change a little bit on the outside. Maybe we turn a new leaf or things of that nature. And as we turn a new leaf and get things changed up a little bit, before we know it, the root of the problem, which is hidden in there, is in there, begins to come out, and before you know it, it manifests itself. The heart is wicked above all. Who can know it? That's what Scripture says. So be very careful as we begin to study this and look at it. Look over at Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5, real quick, chapter 5, verse 17. Now, I'm hoping we get through a lot of verses tonight. If not, you know, the matter is that we'll just pick up where we left off next week and go right into it. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse number 17. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 17. Matthew 5 and 17. The Bible says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." Verse number 19. "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so," well, we have a lot of that going on, don't we? "Do as I say, and not as I do." Well, that's a bad habit to get in, isn't it? I think the Bible says there, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least of the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them," remember, a disciple is a learner, a follower. There's always, always somebody learning from you. Always somebody following in your footsteps. Be very careful that you don't teach them by word or deed or action or lifestyle a wrong path and a wrong way. Walk straight, upright, walk and keep your eyes upon Jesus and put those blinders on. So as we read on in verse 19, "But whosoever shall do and teach them, and the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." How do your righteousness exceed? You've got to have the righteousness of Christ. Without knowing Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, your friend, you're spinning your wheels. You're just stuck in a rut. You can have the knowledge of biblical backgrounds. You can have all the layouts of all the biblical maps and all the studies of the canons and all the studies of different theologians and different teachers throughout. And you can have all their wisdom. You gain all the earthly wisdom you want. And dear friend, without Christ, you'll die in your sin. You'll die in it. There was many teachers in the Old Testament. The problem that they had really with Christ was that he was teaching and doing. Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter number 1. We've got a new one here tonight, don't we? He'll be all right. Y'all pay attention to me. He'll learn. He'll look around, see all them other kids sitting still, and he'll pick up on it. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and to teach." You remember what he said to the Pharisees? You know what he said to the Pharisees? "You put much upon the people, but you won't even lift a finger." You don't even put a finger out there. We got to be very careful of that. And you know, sometimes we throw out things that, boy, if they just love Jesus, they'd do X, Y, and Z. Well, if they just had a heart to learn and a hunger and a thirst, it would manifest itself in this way or that way. Well, we're all different, aren't we? look around at, you know, at the years. I was talking to my wife. I ordered some pamphlets the other day from Crown Publications. I think, what was it? Sinners in the Hands of Angry God. I ordered some of those, and they sent me a book, and Brother Sexton up there has been 50 years in the ministry. I said, wow, I was amazed. I said, whew, man, that's a long time to get a book. It was a nice book. If you want to read, I'll give it to you. They did a good job of highlighting all that. And then I got to thinking, tell my wife, wow, we're 25 years into this thing. 25 years. I wonder how much impact, as you look back, and how much more impact will we have? The only way we're going to have any impact on this world, dear friend, is if we decrease and Christ increase. And you'll notice this, and I'm not going to get there. We're going to look at this later. They were called disciples and followers, and it was more than just the 12, too. But we read this passage of Scripture was dealing with the 12, and there's a transfer. They were learners, and then they were sent ones. There was a time that he looked at all of his followers, did not say, well, what did he say to the 12? Will you leave me also? See, people will come and go if they're anchored their faith in people. Let me tell you, dear friend, follow me as I follow Christ. But do not anchor your faith in me. Anchor your faith in the Lord, because he'll never let you down. Preachers will fall, deacons will fall, song leaders will fall. Grandfathers and fathers and aunts and uncles will fall and falter and fall into the sins of the trap of this world and of sin. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Keep your eyes on him. Oh, it'll hurt. You'll be heartbroken when you're one of those that you follow. One of those, you'll be heartbroken. You'll be broken, dear friend. You will. But think about how much broken God is. How much more his heart hurts. And yet with that hurt and broken heart, he still loves you. He doesn't pause for a minute and say, well, I've got to do away with the rest of the world. And I've got to concentrate solely on this one. No, he keeps you in mind. Keeps you in mind. And there comes a time in the transition that they go from being called disciples or followers of Christ to what in Acts? Christians. What life? Christ-like. How did they become Christ-like? Because they had learned much of Christ. They've learned much of Christ. And so as we follow, we study, we look through here, and Christ made the point of people would treat his followers even worse than they treated him. That, it's going to happen. You know how you get past that? You're close to the heart of the Lord. You spend close to, listen, the Lord was hurt and abandoned and left lonely and left alone far greater than we could ever imagine. I mean, ever imagine. Can you imagine when just for a moment on the cross of Calvary, as he said these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But yet the Word tells us, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So he's gone past and beyond your hurt, your pain, your suffering, your heartache. Gone way past it. I mean, Moses had disciples. Many of the Jewish people, look over in John chapter number 9. Many of the Jewish people called themselves followers or disciples of Moses. John chapter number 9. Can I ask you this afternoon? What are we going to do with all the knowledge that we've gained of God? What are we going to do with it? Are we just going to keep it for ourselves? What are you going to do with it? Listen, are you teaching others? Isn't that part of the Great Commission? Go in the world, preach the gospel, those who get saved, baptize them, and then what it says, teaching them what? A little bit of things? Small? All things. To observe it. So what are we going to do with the God of knowledge? What are we going to do with all this understanding? We need to be like a spout of living water, sharing it out. Spending time with folks and talking about the things of God. What did I tell you, John chapter what? John chapter 8?
What did I tell you? John 9. Thank God, just see if you're paying attention. Oh, I was talking to myself for a minute there. John chapter 9, verse number 28. Then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples." See, they had that problem long before Paul ever showed up. Remember, some of them said, "I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul." Who we need to be of? Christ. We need to be of Christ. They had that problem back then. We have that problem today, right? Some of you, if your buddy goes out of town and goes on vacation and not going to be in church, you don't even show up. Tells on himself. Uh-oh, got real quiet. Hey, Jesus says where two or three are gathered in his name, there he's in the midst. Time we open the doors. He's here. Okay, take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. I'm just not learning. I'm just not thinking. You got to pay attention. Some of you, your minds are wandering. Some of you, your minds are off on a million different things. You know what the Bible teaches us? Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. You come in here, dear friend. You gotta put it down for a moment. He says, "Come unto me, all you heavy laden. Take my yoke. Have you taken the yoke? You will learn if you just pause for a moment. Put that stuff aside. Put it aside. Listen, all the chores that you've set, all the goals that you've set for the day. And you come in here this evening, so you feel like a failure. If you're a child of God, you're not a failure. The Bible teaches us we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Now, you may have not accomplished everything you wanted to accomplish. I don't know one of us that accomplished everything on a list. Matter of fact, some of you probably need to slim down your list and put more of Christ in it. Get the priorities out. Maybe pick your five or six things you're going to do every day. If you do one, just shuffle it back up and leave those four in. Add one more to it, but keep Christ in the middle. Keep Christ there. You got to stay this. They revile. You're His disciple. Well, isn't that a good thing, though? When people says, "You're His disciple." I wonder if that's your testimony tonight. I sure hope it's mine. I know there's days that it's not. Brother Bill, I know there's days that I just get to wonder, get busy with good things. Get real busy with doing good things. And then all of a sudden, I find myself at the end of the day, and I said, "Man, did I really learn much of Christ today? Did I really put effort into meditating and pondering and thinking about a special scripture? Just spend a little time with it." John the Baptist had disciples. As he taught and preached and saw folks coming and wanting to learn, when Jesus come walking down the road, guess what he did? "Behold the Lamb of God." He pointed his disciples to Jesus. Sometimes we get pretty selfish, don't we? I get there. Well, I tell you, when God sends me good workers, man, I get selfish. I don't want them. But if God needs them, they're His. They belong to Him. They do. Jesus had disciples, the 12 there, but there was many more. Go to John 6, John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'm going to look just a couple more verses and see. Listen, let me say this to you. A disciple must be prepared to endure hardship. It's a difficult thing, dear friend, to study to show yourself approved. You might have to endure hardship. If you start learning more about Jesus, you're going to reflect more of Jesus. Have you found out here lately that Jesus is not very popular with the world? And even with some of our Christian circles. You're being a little bit too holy there. "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You've heard it. Hey, calm down a little bit. You've set an example that we might have to follow. Being like Christ is something we should want to do. John chapter 6. And let's see. What verse did I want? 66. Listen to what it says. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Wow. We've seen it happen. Some of you just thought about a friend or a family member or somebody that used to be hot and fire on God, with God. I mean, just soaking up the Word in church every time they can, witnessing, telling people about Jesus. They're not here. What you going to do? You better press on. Press on. Every time I've seen somebody get mad and get out and get down the road, say, do this, there, you know, mad at, you know, one of the deacons, mad at the preacher, mad at the Sunday school, you know what happened? They end up out of church. They just say, out. We got to serve God. Serve Him. Well, preacher, why is it so important for church? It's because this is where we get healing. This is where we get help. This is where we get strength. This world's not for you. Listen, I don't care which one of them news media outlets you are in love with. Fox don't love you. They're just in it to make money. The CNN don't love you. NBC, MBC, Drudge Report, they don't love you. They want the advertisement. Jesus loves you. Your church family loves you. And we need to know more about Jesus. We need to be disciples. Because I can tell you this, unless we are disciples, we'll never be a sent one. Never. How many of you would send somebody to the moon that never learned about rockets? If you had all the money in the world, like this guy over here now who has all this money sending up rockets, you think he'd just come over and say, listen, Pastor, I like the way that you kind of scramble things up. You don't stay on point. You just go around them. That's just how them stars and them asteroids are up there. I'm just going to put you up inside my ship over here and we'll send you. You just take control of it. He ain't going to do that, is he? Well, I'll tell you what. God is the creator of the galaxy where he's trying to go. And God's interested in souls, which is far more interesting than Mars. And if that guy won't send, I don't even know his name over there, if he won't send you to Mars on one of his space shuttles, why would God use you to send you over to comfort Brother Ray if you won't willingly learn of him? Because he wants Brother Ray to know more about him. Give me an example. Oh, how about Cornelius? Y'all want me to keep going? How about the Ethiopian eunuch? He didn't just grab up anybody, did he? Philip the Evangelist. You know what Philip the Evangelist was doing? On fire for God. You go back and study. He was in a great revival. Preaching. People getting saved. All of a sudden, the Spirit took him up and took him to one Ethiopian eunuch. Became a sent one. Why? Because he was all about Jesus. Is your life all about Jesus? Said, preacher, I don't know. If I make it all about Jesus, he might send me. Wouldn't that be a shame? Oh, bless your soul. Oh, just break your heart. I mean, my Lord, that God would thank you faithful enough to put you in his work. Cry me a big old river. Get your pacifier out. Learn of Jesus. Because this world needs Jesus. So in Matthew chapter number 10, verse 1, we saw disciples. He called. Next week we're going to see the apostles, and then we're going to get into their lives. I went almost to 12, so 8 to 10, almost to 12. Almost 8 o'clock. So let's just go, Lord, in prayer. Bus drivers, listen to me. Come right over this way, and I'm going to give you your little dum-dums. Don't come all the way over here and mess up because they're working over here, okay? What we need, gentlemen, we have a wedding Saturday. I need the pulpit put away. I need those things put down the hallway there and the communion table put away for me.